I'm going to try to preach to you this morning about the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse number 10 will be our verse of scripture that will tell us about that prayer. So I hope that you'll turn to page number 629 in the Old Testament in the Pew Bibles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 10 in your Bibles. Let me read that verse again. There were only two verses I read earlier, but I want to read the 10th verse again. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. That is the prayer Jabez prayed. So let's go to the Lord again for a moment of prayer, and ask the Lord's blessings as we try to study this prayer that is found in God's holy word. Dear Father in heaven, I do thank you that we can be in your house and gathered at your house today. We miss those who cannot be with us, but these are trying times through which we're passing, and we don't tell you that to acquaint you with it because you already know it. In fact, you know it much better than we do. You see the whole picture. We only see little bits and pieces where we live and our loved ones dwell. But Lord, we do need you in so many ways, even ways we don't even know about. We need you to protect us, keep us, and bless us amidst the coronavirus. We need you to bless us spiritually through your Holy Spirit in our hearts and souls. We need you to bless us in your house. We need you to bless us through your word. And Lord, we just bow before you and confess we're creatures of need. But also, Lord, to thank you for all you've done for each and every one of us. And there's not a person here, there's not a person on earth, even those who do not believe in you, who do not trust in you, nevertheless, they have been blessed by you, and they don't even know it to say thank you. But our hearts have been touched. Your Spirit dwells within us. We've been born again. And we know who you are, and we believe you're the source of all the blessings of life. And we thank you, Lord, for each and every blessing. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Our blessed and wonderful Savior died for our sins, paid a debt we could not pay. Lord, in his name, we are allowed to come to you in prayer. Because if we tried to come in our own merit, we all come up short. But we can come today in him and in his name. And we do that, Father, believing that as we come in his name, we have a bold access to thee. We can cast all our burdens and cares upon you and lean upon your everlasting arms. We're doing that now, Lord, as we try to worship you through the study of your holy word. Grant us grace to understand. Bless your word to our hearts. But more importantly, through our hearts and our thanksgiving and praise, bless to your glory and the glory of Jesus. In his holy name we ask it all. Amen. By way of introduction to my sermon today, I want to talk to you just a little bit about this man we call Jabez. He is a man that we really don't know much about. But as I pointed out to you in other sermons, as I have been preaching or reading from the Old Testament, I've been doing a lot more preaching from the Old Testament because it seems invariably as I'm reading and studying God's Word, I run into passages like this and others that I've tried to preach to you. And God just puts them on my heart, and I can't get relieved of them till I try to preach on them. And so this week, I've come across this passage that I want to tell you, it's blessed my heart, and I'm so thankful that God showed it to me again. One of the good things about getting older and more forgetful is you discover many more new things. You might have known them 20 years ago, but they left you somewhere during those 20 years, and you come across them again, you say, wow, that's just beautiful. I just thank God for that. And I guess that's what's been happening to me recently. This man, Jabez, is in the genealogy of Judah, the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. There were more good kings in Judah, as I pointed out in an earlier sermon, than there were in Israel. But this man, Jabez, was in the genealogy of Judah. Now, one of the interesting things to me about it is that I can't tell you much about him. God let us know what we need to know about him. But I can tell you, according to the 9th verse, that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I can't tell you who his daddy was, can't give you a name to his father, can't tell you his mother's name, I can't tell you who his grandfather was or his great-grandfather. And you know, there are characters in the Bible that when you read the genealogy, you just say, okay, here he is, there was his father and his mother, there's his grandfather and grandmother, and you can just trace right on back in the lineage and see his ancestry. We don't have that available to us in the Bible on this man Jabez. So all I can tell you is that his mother named him Jabez because she bare him with sorrow. That's how the 9th verse ends. Two things in the 9th verse. More honorable than his brethren, and she gave birth to him with sorrow. Now, what I understand by him being more honorable than his brethren, and again, I don't know how many brothers he had. I don't know if he had one or half a dozen. God doesn't tell us. But he had brethren, and he was more honorable than any of those brothers. And that's not in the estimation of a man. That's in the knowledge of God, who knows the heart of every one of us. And when God said he was more honorable than his brethren, you can count on that to be true. But his mother called his name Jabez, because I have borne him with sorrow. Now, I don't know what that sorrow was. I think in my human mind, there are possibly two things that might have been addressed here. I don't know. Just guessing. Could have been that his father died before he was born. Could have been an accident. Could have been a disease. I don't know. I don't know if he died or not. I'm just saying he could have died prior to the birth of this baby. And therefore the mother had sorrow that the father wasn't there to share this time with her and to be able to have lived long enough to see his son born, named Jabez. The other possibility in my mind and way of thinking of is that it could have been that she had abnormal pain and difficulty in childbearing. And with all of the pain and all of the tears and all of that amounted to her sorrow. It could have been that, I don't know. We do know she bare him with sorrow. Now, having read that 9th verse, Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now that's interesting, but it's very important too. Jabez was a praying man, but let me tell you something, folks. He didn't pray to Dagon. He didn't pray to Baal. He didn't pray to any pagan idol. This man knew the true God. This man knew the God of Israel. You know, God in the Ten Commandments said you're not to make any graven images or any likeness of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath, and you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, nor worship them. That's in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. But all along through the history of Israel and Judah, time and time and time again, they build their little idols up. In fact, Jeremiah the prophet, in the 10th chapter, describes the idols that they worshipped. And he knew about it in his day. Said they'd take an axe and go into the forest, they'll cut out a tree, and they'll cut a piece of wood, and they'll shape and form that wood, and they'll overlay it in gold and silver, and they'll set it up, and they'll nail it down. Imagine that, a God that can't even keep itself upright. I don't know what went through people's minds to worship. Something they had to make. Something they had to set up and nail it down to keep it upright. But what Jeremiah told the people was, don't be afraid of those gods. They can't hurt you. Neither is it in them to help you. And that's the fifth verse of Jeremiah 10. So Jeremiah put it very plain and blank to them. He just said, point blank, they can't hurt you, but they can't help you either. So you can pour out all your prayers you want to, but they're not going to answer them. But this man, Jabez, knew the true and living God of Israel. And he prayed to God. You know why? Same reason we pray to God. Because the Bible in the New Testament repeatedly, on a number of occasions, said, with God, all things are possible. And I believe it's Luke that worded it a little differently. I think it's 167. But he says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. In other words, with God, everything is possible. We worship a God. And Jabez apparently understood this. The God who created the heavens and the earth. We got a lot of bright people on this earth today, very intelligent people, very highly educated and knowledgeable people, but they still can't figure out how big this universe is. It's just a marvelous thing that our God spoke it into existence. And our God that we worship is the God Jabez worshipped. And Jabez came to the God of Israel and called on him. That's why I call it the prayer of Jabez. Now, there are four things that he's going to request of God. Well, let me give you a little more information on Jabez before I give you that information. There are 789,674 words in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible, which I use. Brothers and sisters, that's over 750,000 words in the Bible. Do you know how many times the name Jabez appears in the Bible? In over 750,000 words, only 5 times. One of them is in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, which tells us there was a town named Jabez. Just once it tells us that. But in this passage, the name Jabez is used 4 times, and so we're able to have the other 4 accounts. But outside, now listen to this, outside this man named Jabez, in all the history of the Bible, in all the thousands of names recorded in the Old and the New Testament, nobody else was named Jabez. See, in my family, there's a lot of renaming. I got named William because it was the given name of both my grandfathers. Both of them were William, so I got William. My daddy was Harold. I got Harold. That's why I'm William Harold. And a lot of times in the Bible, you'll see the repeating of names. One generation, and then somebody will think back and say, oh, I remember four generations back, Uncle so-and-so, let's name this boy by his name. So a lot of names got repeated. You will not find another person named Jabez in all of the Bible. just this man alone. What a special fellow he was. He asked four things of God. Number one, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Indeed, Father, I want you to bless me. He didn't spell it out for God. I want to think he had faith to say, God knows what I need. And God knows what I will need down the road. And I don't know what I'm going to need tomorrow or the next day. But Lord, just bless me. I pray for you to just bless me. Wasn't that a noble prayer request? I think we've all prayed that at some time or another. But then the second request, and enlarge my coast. It's like just envisioning in my mind, you might have lived in maybe an area near water, and he had a small plot. But Lord, when you bless me, enlarge my coast. Let me have more land. Let me have more domain than I have now. Expand it, enlarge it. I want more. We human beings are that way. I can't tell you. I mean, there are many people, you know, they maybe own 1,000 acres of land. But somebody's got a farm next to them, is going to sell it. And they want to buy it because they want more land. And that's just the way we see it a lot in the world. And so Jabez was wanting the Lord to enlarge his coast. However much God was pleased to do that, I guess. The third thing he requested was, and that thy hand might be with me. Now, if I started to pick up and try to carry off that communion table, I'd probably grab one end and I'd say, one of you brethren, will you give me a hand? Which meant, you come help me move this. I can't do it real easy by myself. I can drag it, but it's not a good shape to handle picking up. I understand that's what Jabez was praying for. Lord, would you just be with me and keep me, but that thou wouldest, that thou might be with me, thy hand might be with me. Lord, when I am weak, help me. Use your hand to help me lift my burden. I can't carry it. When I am weak, help me to be stronger. I need your hand, Lord, to help me all along the way. Don't you feel that way about life? Don't you feel like you need God to help you? There are times when it's just too heavy a burden. And so he is saying, Lord, thy hand, let thy hand, that it might be with me. That was the third one. And this last one, this fourth request, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, I'm not sure I understand exactly what he's saying there. But he is saying that keep me from evil. And evil there, as I looked up the word and checked it out, means bad. Keep me from bad things. I want to do right things. I don't want to do wrong things. I don't want to do bad things. Lord, give me restraining grace and keep me from evil. I don't want to wander into those paths. The devil is always dangling his bait in front of you, trying to get you to go there. And as if that's not enough, there's always somebody out there in the world that you know that's going to try to get you to do something they know you don't want to do. Because contrary to your faith, but they can have a big party with the devil laughing about it if they can just get you tripped up and get you to make a mistake. Well, he didn't want to make those mistakes. He didn't want, apparently, to do that which was bad. So, Lord, will you keep me from evil that it not grieve me? You ever done anything and later on you realized that wasn't a good thing to have done? I shouldn't have done that. I wish I'd thought more before I did it. I wish I'd had the strength and grace not to have done that, not to have said that, not to have thought that. And you grieve over it. And you repent to God for it. He said, I don't want to go through that. Keep from evil. This last statement kind of connected in my thinking to the model prayer which our Lord Jesus Christ taught us in Matthew 6:9-13. In that 13th verse, he said, deliver us from evil. Isn't that an amazing thing? This man Jabez, as far as I can look up and calculate, lived somewhere around 1,300 or 1,400 years. That's right, 1,300 or 1,400 years prior to the birth of Jesus. That means he was somewhere 3,300 to 3,400 before our day and time. And yet, though separated from the day when our Lord lived on this earth, this man is praying, keep me from evil. And Jesus taught you and me to pray, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's the prayer of this man we call Jabez. Now, one of the interesting things about this prayer, it's a very short prayer. There's only 33 words in it. Probably most of my prayers are longer than that. Probably most of your prayers are longer than that. But only 33. It's only half as long as the model prayer. Jesus' model prayer, if I count it correctly, has 66 words in it. And the prayer of Jabez has 33 words in this prayer. So it's very simple. But what a profound prayer. What wisdom has been manifest in the words of this prayer. Now, as I looked at this and I studied and pondered and thought about it, I made three observations. I want to close my sermon today with those three observations. First of all, I want you to understand that this really makes us see that it's not so much about the high and mighty who pray. It's even the poor who pray. Our God is not a respecter of persons. I want you to remember that, please. It can change your life. The New Testament, when the Apostle Peter was shortly to go to the house of a Roman centurion, Cornelius. Cornelius, though as I understand it, a Gentile, believed in the God of the Jews. And he was also a praying man. And he prayed to God and prayed to God on a daily basis. And God heard his prayer, just like God heard the prayer of Jabez. And God sent an angel to him. It scared him when he saw that angel. Frightened him. But he was calmed. And he said, there is at Joppa a man named Simon Peter. And I want you to send for him. And he's going to tell you some things you need to know. Now, it's a long passage of Scripture, so I'm abbreviating it in my words. God began to work on the other end of the stick where Peter was. Peter was on the housetop about the middle of the day, and he was praying. And he went into a trance. I don't know what all is involved in that, but he went into a trance. And in that trance, he saw this gray sheet that was let down out of heaven. And when it came down to where he was, he looked at it, filled up with all those unclean animals that Jews, God said, don't eat of those. They're unclean to you, Jews. You leave them alone. And all that great big sheet is full of animals, unclean to the Jews. And Peter refused them just like that. He said, Lord, no, I haven't eaten anything common or unclean. It happened the second time. It happened the third time. Peter began to get a message. And then God revealed to him that there are some men coming looking for you. And I want you to go with them doubting nothing. And sure enough, it wasn't long till the knock was on the door. And there they were, our master Cornelius. I sent us to bring you to him. Well, God done convinced Peter, you better go with those men. Normally Jews didn't have much to do with Gentiles. But you go over there with them. And he did. And he taught them some wonderful truths, but that's a whole nother sermon. But here's one thing he did understand. When he got to them, he made it clear that he understood this truth. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's in Acts 10. And he wanted to know and understand. I can't get the verse right this minute. 24, I think, or somewhere along there. 24:42. But God's no respecter of persons. Maybe I can't tell you the last verse there, so you'll have to read the whole chapter, and that'll get you focused in on it. But God's no respecter of persons. Do you know why he needed to know that? Because humanity is so hung up on being respecters of persons. The high and the mighty, the rich and the famous, the powerful. You know, the world would look at me today just like they looked at Jabez and said, he's a nobody. We didn't pay no attention to that fella. He's not worth listening to. But, you know, if something happened to me tonight and I inherited an immense fortune and I had empires at my feet by tomorrow on the news, I would be one of the richest, most famous people in the world, and every company would want me on a commercial to advertise their product. Do you know why? Because mankind is so caught up on the rich and famous. God does not care how poor you are or how rich you are. God is not a respecter of persons. That's why God blessed Jabez. Jabez was not a king. He was not a prophet of God. There's no connections to great people in his lineage for us to look at. We don't even know his mother, daddy's name. He was a nobody to the world, but he was somebody to God. That's the first observation I made. A nobody to man, but a somebody to God. Aren't you glad God looks at it that way? We may never be rich and famous. Probably we won't. By the world's standard, nobody will care when we die. But God loves us. And God has saved us. And God gave His only begotten Son to die for our sins. I'd rather have that than all the riches and prestige of the world. First observation, God is not a respecter of persons. Second one I noticed is, this is a little simple prayer. You know, I think I mentioned there's 33 words here. It's not a very long prayer. You find other prayers in the Bible that are a lot longer. Now, I don't mean by that this is the shortest prayer in the Bible. It isn't. You look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, verse 13. You'll find in that passage there is a Pharisee and a publican. Oh, the Pharisees were a religious group of people, pretty caught up and hung up on themselves. Man, they just really felt like they were so good. If they had seen me walking down the sidewalk, they'd have crossed on the other side. They wouldn't have wanted to walk near this old sinner. Why, they were just so caught up, you know, that wore suits that had their thumbs under the lapel and just let you know how important they were. But over there, a little ways over, there is a publican who's a Roman tax collector. And to the Jews, he was a nobody. But to God, he was a somebody. He prayed even a shorter prayer than this, and God heard and answered it. While that Pharisee is standing there at the temple of God, I just see him. Hands up, looking toward heaven. God, I thank you. I'm not as others are. I fast, I tithe. I'm thankful I'm not like that man over there. That old poor publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. He just smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven words. Short prayer. My observation is, with God, not only does He not look at the prestige of mankind, He does not look at the length of our prayers either. If it is a genuine heartfelt prayer, if it is a sincere cry of the heart of one of God's children to God, regardless of how long it is or how short it is, God still hears the prayer. I mentioned about pagan gods earlier. I want to go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 again. He talked about how they should pray. He said a lot of the folks in his day, Jesus living on the earth, said they like to stand on the corners of the street. They want to get to a good crossroad. They want to stand out there, and they wanted to pray and get that prayer position. The Jews, everybody walked by and said, God, look at him. That man must be a real religious guy. He's praying. You know what Jesus said? Don't pray that way. Get in your prayer closet. When you shut your door, then pray to your Father which is in heaven and in secret. And your Father which is listening in secret is going to reward you openly. So you see, it doesn't matter how long the prayer, how short the prayer. If it comes from the heart, if it is genuine, God hears the prayer. And He said there, to not pray as the heathen do, for they use vain repetition, and they do that because they think their prayers have to be long prayers to be heard by their God. Jesus was telling them that's not what matters to the true God. Pagans had, apparently, from what Jesus said there in that sixth chapter of, I believe it's the sixth chapter of John, it is. He was saying to them, those idol worshippers, they got all these little statements and cliches and little words and sentences and all these little things. They repeat them. Got no meaning to them. They just repeat them. Because it sounds, it's a part of their religion, and it's a part of the way they worship. There's no feeling in it. There's no genuine emotion in it. They're just empty, vain words that they say. Jesus said, that's not the way you're supposed to pray. You're to pray from the heart to God. And when you pray, even secretly, when nobody will hear you but God in your heart, quietly, you're like that man. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Like Jabez, Lord, if you would just bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and thy hand be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve. Such a simple but profound prayer. We don't get heard by God for our much speaking. Not the length of our prayers or the brevity of our prayers. It's the genuineness of our prayers. One other observation, I want to close. God does answer prayer. That's my third observation. A man I've never thought about. He's not a man that I've thought anything about. I'd forgotten that I ever read his name in the Bible. But I remember him now. But God answered his prayer. That's what it tells me. Look at the last statement in that 10th verse. And God granted him that which he requested. I'm not guessing at this, brothers and sisters. This is the word of God. God answered that man's prayer. I don't know how dramatically it affected his life. I have no way to know because God didn't tell us. But God tells us that he prayed, and he tells us what he prayed. And he tells us that he heard and answered his prayer. God answers prayer. Just common folks can pray and God will answer prayer. Remember Hannah, the mother of the first prophet of God, Samuel. I don't know why she couldn't have children, but she wanted a boy baby so bad. She just grieved about it. When she went to the temple with her husband, she prayed and begged God, please give her a little boy. God, if you give me a little boy, when I can, I'll give him back to you. And she did. She honored her promise. Kept her promise to God. You know that little baby boy that God gave her in the answer to her prayer? Samuel. First prophet of God. Now, there's others in the Bible God heard and answered prayer. There was a man named Solomon. God said to him, ask of me what you want. What would you have done? What do you think you might have asked if God told you? One night, lying on your bed, God just came to you, and it was clear it was God. And God said, tell me what you want. I'll give you anything you want. Tell me what you want. You ever thought about what you would say to God? God told Solomon, ask what you want. Solomon thought about it, and here's what he basically said. I'd like to have a wise and understanding heart so that I can lead thy so great people. Now, God was pleased with that prayer. I'll tell you why. Because God told him later, he said, now, you didn't ask to live a long, long life. You didn't ask to be one of the richest men in the world. You didn't ask to be able to conquer all of your enemies. But you didn't ask for them. But God said, I'm so pleased at what you've asked for. I'm going to give you all of that too. I'm telling you, God blessed him. There's peace in his kingdom time. People in other countries came to hear his wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. And God gave him the wisdom that he had prayed for. And in the New Testament, I want to tell you one, and I'll close. The Apostle Peter, the beloved Apostle Peter, was in prison. Four quadrants of soldiers had charge of him. No way anybody's going to break him out. It was as secure as Rome could make it. Gates of steel or iron and wood. Secured in the innermost section. But the church, Acts 12:5, the church prayed without ceasing unto God for him. God sent an angel down one night. And I don't know if I could have slept much being chained to soldiers where I couldn't get away. But he was asleep because the angel bucked him and woke him up. He thought he was dreaming. He wasn't sure it was really an angel. But the angel told him to follow him. The shackles fell off his arms and feet. As they came to a door, God had just swung the door open. They came to the edge of the prison, the main door. It swung open on its own. God did that. Don't doubt what God can do. And he walked out, a free man. The church prayed, and God was pleased to answer that prayer, and he set Brother Peter free. God does answer prayer. He might answer it of one little publican. He might answer it of man basically unknown, little Jabez. He might answer it of Solomon or Hannah or many in the church. God answers prayer. And not always answer just the way you want it. I'll tell you that. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait a while. But God answers prayer. And in the light of this prayer of Jabez, I hope we'll be encouraged to pray. We might say, well, I'm not anybody all that important, but you are to God. You don't have to pray a long prayer. Just pray whatever's on your heart. Needs to be a heartfelt prayer. And remember by faith, let your faith be strengthened. God answered his prayer. God can still answer yours. So pray. pray without ceasing. You know what the next verse after 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. It means keep a spirit of prayer on your heart and mind. In everything give thanks, for it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when you pray and God answers your prayer, go back and say, thank you, Lord. I believe it's fitting that we do so. So thank God for this little prayer in the Bible. Bless my heart. I hope God will use it to bless yours. And it'll be His glory and His praise. It'll be my prayer for Christ's sake.